Talk about the first day and the second day. And look at chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made earth and heaven. And there in verse 4, he's talking about the whole six-day period. And the Hebrew word day is Y-O-M, Yom. And so it's the same word. So obviously it doesn't have to mean 24 hours. You know, could be a long period of time, could be 24 hours. You don't get the sun until the fourth day. So these are not necessarily solar days. And so I think personally I think it's better to say they could be long periods of time, could be 24-hour days. We've got to decide that elsewhere. It doesn't necessarily make it one way or the other here. I think it's a good idea not to draw a hard line on that. There's some things that would point to an old universe, there's some things that point to a young universe. And so I think it'd be better to just kind of let it be either way. That's not something that is something you should draw a hard line on. How could you have light without the sun? Well, you've got all kind of light. You've got the aurora borealis, or the northern lights. You've got phosphorescence. You've got that kind of thing today. So you could have light without the sun. Think of, again, when you start talking age and creation, when Adam was created, how old did he look? 30? How old was it? 2 minutes? when Jesus created bread and fish, if you'd arrived late on the scene, hadn't seen him do that, and I give you a fish, and I say, how old do you think this fish is? You say, well, year? I said, how about 5 minutes? So when you start talking creation, it gets a little complicated. Now, the second day, you get the separation of waters. Look in verse 6. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters from above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. There was evening, there was morning, a second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called sea. Now you got waters above the expanse and waters beneath the expanse. And you got birds flying through the expanse. Now, King James, instead of using the word expanse, used what? Firmament. Firmament. And that gave the idea of something firm up there. Where actually the concept is an expanse. But they gave the idea. So you got people who say, well, they thought of it as a three-story universe where you had the earth, and then up here you had a steel thing around it, a fern, and then you placed stars, bright lights, and hung them there. And that's the way they thought of the universe, which they were wrong. You know, well, no, the firmament wasn't this. The firmament, or the expanse, is this. And the waters under the expanse, he separates those from waters above the expanse. Now, what are the waters under? Well, they become the ocean. They cover the earth, but there's an ocean. What's the water above the expanse? Could be clouds and rain, but it didn't rain up to this point, did it? As you read on, it says that it didn't rain, but that a mist went up from the earth and watered it. So it could be that what happened at this point was that God puts a lot of water in suspension up here, so you had kind of a water canopy around the earth. You got some planets out there that are like that. Now, and then at the flood, that water canopy was condensed out, and that's where all the water came from, in a sense. So it rains for 40 days and 40 nights, and so, and floods the whole earth. So it could be that prior to the flood, you had this water canopy. Now, if you had that, the effect it would have on the earth would be kind of a hothouse effect. And when they look at the poles, they find if you dig down the poles that you had tropical plants there at one point. They were tropical in terms at one point. And also, if you had something like that, it would affect the amount of radiation coming in. And That may be connected to aging, and you have people living a real long time back then, so that could be. It could point toward the idea of a water canopy that's before the flood. Don't know. Could be referring just to clouds. Okay. Now, you get the third day. Let's look at the third day. Verse 11. God said, let the earth sprout and vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, and there was seed in them on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind. Notice everything after its kind. After its kind. Trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. God saw it was good. There was evening and morning. There was the third day. And then the fourth day, God creates the moon and the sun. Let there be lights in the expanse of heaven to separate the day from night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. And let them be for lights in the expanse and give light on the earth. It was so. It made two great lights. So, and that was the fourth day. And then, verse 20, the fifth day, let the waters teem with the swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, and with which the water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. That was evening, that was morning, the fifth day. And then 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, each thing after its kind here. God saw that it was good. So here, now we lead down into the sixth day, which we'll look at on the next thing. But let's just take a second here. Hold your place and look at John chapter 1 in the New Testament. John chapter 1. Where says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are two of them, and somehow the two are one. In the beginning of the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because the Word here, of course, is talking about the second person of the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, the Word. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And then, jump to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, here's the Creator becoming a creature, becoming a man, a baby. Good night. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. Wow. Wow. That's just boggling your mind. Here's a little poem. It goes like this. The maker of the universe, as man, for man, was made a curse. The claims of law which He had made unto the uttermost, He paid. He made the forest whence there sprang the tree on which His body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er His head, by Him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid from Him its face, by His decree was poised in space. Night. Whew! Goodness, just think of the one who created all this and then becoming man and living under the law, keeping it, and then voluntarily dying for our sins. Good night. Incredible. Boy. All right, let's look at chapter 2, or at your next section. We're still in chapter 1, and we'll go into chapter 2, the creation of man. Now, we talked about the parallel. As we said, you get a parallel as far as the creation of man. You get the goes back to that and picks up on that and elaborates on that. Notice in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in His own image. And then you notice in verse 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. So that's elaborating on this. Now, the parallel, as we said, to get this act of creation of man elaborated on, you have kind of a pause, it seems like, in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man. And God created man in his own image. This is the crown of creation, of course, and so this is everything leads up to this. Notice the plurality. Let us make man in our image. Who's us? Apparently, you're getting the implication that although there's one God, there are three persons here. The idea of a multiplicity and yet a singleness. We read earlier about God and the Spirit of God. And of course, this doesn't mention here the Son of God, although we read in the New Testament about the Son of God is involved in the creation. All three of them involved in the creation. The word Elohim, in the beginning God, the Hebrew word is Elohim, that's the plural for God. In other words, really it says in the beginning gods created the heaven there, but it's not regarded as plural. El is the singular and Elohim is the plural. It's not regarded as plural because they never understood it to be. You know, I'm the Lord your God. The Lord your God is one God type thing. And so he uses the plural term, and again you get the implication of one God in three persons, sort of. Now, the pattern here that he makes man in verse, incidentally, the angels are around at this point. They are created before the world is created. You find that out elsewhere. And Book of Job, for instance. But when he said, let us make man, he's not talking about you angels and I will make man. No. The image here is the image of God, and that's what is the image of God? Well, there's a broad sense of it and a narrow sense. In the broad sense, man would be different from the creatures. He'd have a soul. He could relate to God. That's the broad sense. The narrow sense was a moral likeness, not a physical likeness. When it says an image of God, God doesn't have a body. And so it wasn't a physical likeness. It's a moral likeness. And you pick that up in the New Testament when it's told that we are renewed in the image of God when we become Christians. Hold your place and look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And verse 24, I think it is. Yeah. Where it says, let's back up to verse 22 of Ephesians 4. In reference to your former manner of life, you, now that you're a Christian, would be the idea, lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your man and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So here's the image of God, righteousness and holiness. When you become a Christian, you're being renewed in the image of God. You're not totally renewed, but you're being renewed. And you're being renewed in righteousness and holiness and loving the right things and choosing the right things. And then look at Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 10. Well, let's back up to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices when you became a Christian, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. True knowledge. So, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness were the image of God. Man thought right, he loved the right things, and he chose the right things. And you kind of think of it like this, that this isn't right, but think of it that when God created man, he put a little bottle of poison in it and said, now, Adam, if you ever go against my will, that little bottle's going to break. Well, Adam went against his will, and it broke. And it poisoned his mind. He didn't think right. It poisoned his will. He didn't choose right. It poisoned his heart. He didn't love the right things. And when Adam begat children, they started off with that poison nature. And so all the world, we'll see that when we look at the fall, but all the world would come into existence with that poison nature. That's something like that. Actually, it's conceivable that instead of him putting a little bottle of poison in him, he took something out of him. When you become a Christian, what renews you in the image of God? What happens? The Holy Spirit comes to live within in union with your human spirit. It could be, the Bible doesn't say this, but it could be that when God first creates man, the Holy Spirit is within him, and when man sins, he withdraws, and man's plunged into darkness, and so on. Either way, the image of God, in the broad sense, is retained, but in the narrow sense, is lost, okay? And so man needs renewing in the image of God in the narrow sense. But look at Genesis. Let's look back at Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, which is right after the flood. And let's start with verse 5 of Genesis 9. God says, "And surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast I will require it, and from every man, from every man's brother. I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." He's talking here about if you kill an innocent person, then you should forfeit your life. Capital punishment. Now why? Look at what it says. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." When you kill a person, you're not killing a dog. You're killing someone made in the image of God. And see, here's man, fallen man, but he's still in the image of God in the broad sense. In the narrow sense, he needs renewing. But he's got a soul, he can relate to God. And so if you kill an innocent man, he hadn't done something that deserves death, but then you've got to forfeit your life here. capital punishment. Because you kill someone in the image of God. Apply that to abortion. Ooh, that's scary. All right. Now we looking back at, let's look back at Genesis chapter 1 there. God, verse 27, God created man his own image. The image of God created him, and male and female, he created them. Now notice it also talks about that he breathed into him the breath of life. Down in verse 7 of chapter 2, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed in him his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. Okay. Now, you have the position that man is placed in verse 28 of chapter 1. "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This is what's called the cultural mandate, where they were to go into all the world and civilize it in a sense, or go into the field of science and develop that field, go into the field of agriculture, develop that field, go into the field of medicine, develop that field, in a sense. This is a position of man. He's placed over creation here and told to develop creation. now, the purpose, why did God create man? Interesting, it doesn't tell you. You have those who say, well, God got lonely. No, God didn't get lonely. It's interesting that there's not much in Scripture that talks about why God created man. Over in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, it says that he made man for his own glory, whom I've created for my glory. Isaiah 43, 7. And so man's chief end is to glorify God. That's why we're here. And remember John 15, Jesus, verse 8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." And the fruit would be the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, as we reflect Christ-like character. And then also, as other lives are impacted through our life, that'd be another aspect of the fruit, and as men serve God. the position